C3 AI software allows you to develop AI applications with less code, less resources, and less maintenance. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, January 7th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Most employers encourage workers to use their vacation time, you know, to take a week off here or there to relax and recover from the stress of their job. But what if you could take a few months off? As burnout from work becomes more common, many employers are including sabbaticals in the list of company perks.
And there's this organization called the Sabbatical Project that actually did interviews with 50 people who'd taken sabbaticals. And they found that there was a common theme of what they called functional workaholism, which is, you know, people just obviously working way, way, way too much.
On today's show, we'll talk to WSJ reporter Katie Binley about the growing trend. And we'll hear from a 28-year-old Vancouver resident who recently took one. That's after the break.
C3 AI Enterprise AI software supercharges your ERP installation, making it fully predictive. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Sometimes a week off from work to rest and recharge isn't enough. And for some, neither is 2 weeks, or even three. As companies try to cut down on burnout among workers, many are allowing them to take several month-long sabbaticals to power down and relax before returning to their job. Like 28-year-old Uri Paul. He took a sabbatical from his job at a polling software startup last year. Uri, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So Uri, tell me, when did you take your sabbatical and why did you take it?
So I took it beginning of 2021. I think it started in February and ended up taking it for about 4 months. I think my biggest reason for taking it was kind of a mix of things. Burnout, being at a job for 6 years and kind of not knowing where I'm going next and realizing that I kind of need to step away and spend some time working on myself and spending time doing some like work on myself instead of just working nonstop.
So Uri, was there a lot of work and stress and anxiety that you were dealing with that led you to take the sabbatical? Tell us what that was like.
So at the time, I was working at a technology startup called Slido, and I joined that company in the early days, 6 years ago, as one of the first employees. So that kind of implied that it was just the work was intense, and I feel like I, in the first few years, kind of let my identity become the work itself, the startup. Like everything I was doing was the company. You know, if I went for dinner with friends and they would ask me how I'm doing or what's happening, I would just talk about the startup, which in some ways is natural and it's perfectly fine. But I think it kind of went over line where when someone asked me like, what are your hobbies or anything like that, I would say, you know, I don't have any, or I just work during the weekends. And I would kind of feel good about it and didn't see the other way. But then about a year ago, just before I decided even to take the sabbatical, I started to kind of see the other side and realize that, hang on, there's actually more to me than work. Like, who am I? What do I care about? What are my values? What do I actually like doing? You know, I love going to the nature and hikes, but I'm not prioritizing that. So with all of that, also setting boundaries and all around all these things. And those are kind of some of the things that were building up that anxiety and stress and kind of knowing who am I and what do I want to do that kind of led to the discussion about a sabbatical.
What was that like asking your boss for that amount of time off?
I didn't actually ask for it initially. Plus, we have a very open culture at Slido, the company where I worked at. So I reported to the co-founder and CEO, and we were very open in kind of talking about how I'm feeling around that time. We had a big reorg around the same time, and we also announced that we were getting acquired by Cisco. So lots of change happening in the organization. And I remember one day we were just kind of talking openly about what's next for me. I expressed that quite vulnerably, and I'm kind of frankly not sure what I want to do next. It's been 6 years with the company, seen rapid growth, took roles that kind of kept changing every 6 months, which is, again, super normal for startups, but it kind of left me confused as to what's next. My boss kind of pointed me and said that what you're experiencing, it's in a way burnout. Like there's so many forums, and I'm kind of always careful to put the label of burnout onto things, but I did see it, and I do see it in retrospect now, that yes, there are some things that I just didn't feel the pull towards anything. And that to me was the definition of burnout.
So what'd you do on your time off?
So it wasn't the kind of joke about it. It wasn't the eat, pray, love sabbatical, as I romanticize or dream about. I spent the first month, we were living with my wife back in New York and Brooklyn at the time. And the first one was still quite anxious. Like it took me a good while to fully switch off and disconnect from work. I remember the first few weeks feeling actually quite bad for not working, almost feeling a lot of guilt. I'm like thinking back to my colleagues and all the things that were happening and just seeing myself there. Plus, if you add COVID on top of that and the fact that we are locked in the same apartment in Brooklyn as we were when I was working from home, I'm still kind of seeing the same desk, seeing my wife working, and it was kind of difficult to disconnect. So we decided to spend the second month. We flew to California, rented a cabin at Lake Tahoe, and kind of changed the scenery. We're close to nature, so I could actually leave the house, take the dog for a hike, and kind of disconnect better. And I did start noticing in that second month that I'm actually disconnecting from work and starting to get inspired by new things, starting to get ideas. And yeah, that was much better.
Our reporter, Katie Binley, has been looking into this phenomenon. You know, Katie, Uri didn't have to ask his boss for 4 months off, but was there hesitation among people you spoke with to ask for a sabbatical?
This was like one of the first things I asked people, because in my head I was like, wow, I think it would be hard to go to someone and be like, hey, I think I need 3 months off, because what does that say about, I don't know, your commitment to your job or, your overall well-being. I don't think people want to admit that maybe they need something like this. So I did ask everyone about this. This guy from Adobe, you know, interestingly, he's been at the company 17 years. And he said it's so ingrained in the culture, like everybody takes their sabbatical when they're eligible, that it fosters this sense of it's okay. So he said it's not actually like uncomfortable when you're due for it. He said, to ask for it. He said, people, if anything, look at you funny if you don't take it.
So have these sabbaticals become more common?
Yeah, so the latest data we have on that is actually from 2019 from the Society for Human Resource Management. And they have found that around 5% of companies offered them at that point in time. So they still aren't extremely mainstream just yet. But we have seen some big names starting to offer them in the last 2 years, including Goldman Sachs and Citigroup as well. So Citigroup had said that around 200 employees have been approved to take sabbaticals, and they just started their program early in 2021. So they've already approved about 200 people. And then Adobe's been doing this offering sabbaticals for a long time. So at Adobe, you're supposed to take your sabbatical within 2 years of becoming eligible. And then in light of the pandemic, they ended up giving people a grace period in 2020 to give them more time to take it. People tend to like to do these, you know, bucket list trips and stuff. So you could imagine, you know, you're up for your sabbatical. The pandemic is in full swing. You can't go to all the places that you want to. So maybe you don't take it. So they were giving people more time, which is nice.
Is this like an unpaid leave of absence?
It varies company by company. So Goldman Sachs, for example, I know I mentioned them earlier, that they recently started offering sabbaticals. But those are actually, it's 6 weeks unpaid after you've been with the bank for at least 15 years. And then at Citigroup, you have to have been at the company for 5 years. You get 12 weeks off, and it's at 25% of your pay. And then some of these other companies, they are fully paid. So you might get 6 weeks off at your full salary. So it really depends. But each company tends to require a certain number of years off before you are eligible to take this extended time off.
Now, why are companies offering these in addition to the several weeks of vacation that they already offer employees?
Yeah, so this is interesting. I spoke with a CEO of a marketing agency in Chicago, and she said, you know, just she was seeing her employees get burned out. She was, you know, seeing the effects of the pandemic, really. And so she started, and she also said that she was noticing that people weren't really taking the vacation time. You know, they were given a good amount of leave, but she wasn't seeing people actually take the time off. So she decided this past fall to start offering 3 weeks of paid time off for a sabbatical in addition to vacation time. And people are eligible for that after 3 years with the company. And she views it as a way to, you know, both attract new talent and also hang on to the existing talent that she has.
Yeah, you know, people not taking time off and leaving vacation time on the table is nothing new. Why are people so reluctant to take time off?
There's this idea among some people who are really hard workers that, you know, you should always be kind of pushing through. And there's this organization called the Sabbatical Project that actually did interviews with 50 people who'd taken sabbaticals. And they found that there was a common theme of what they called functional workaholism, which is, you know, people just obviously working way, way, way too much. And for those people, 2/3 of them said that it was a negative event, such as like a long relationship ending or the death of a family member or needing to take care of someone that was sick, that finally prompted them to take their long break. So they, in a lot of cases, needed like a negative catalyst to prompt them to take the sabbatical.
Now, taking several months off could definitely help somebody deal with stress and anxiety. But what does that mean for other employees back at the office who had to pick up that person's work while they're away?
Yeah, so one theme that came up a bunch in the reporting was this idea of planning ahead to make sure that the employee who does have to help out a bunch doesn't get overburdened. So an employee really is supposed to go to their manager, I think, a few months in advance to talk about when would be the ideal time for me to take this break, evaluating, okay, what projects can be put on hold maybe until the person comes back. And then really companies just need to focus on distributing the work in a way that's fair and where you don't want to see one person have to pick up so much slack. So I think it's really about just the distribution of work among a bunch of different people, it sounds like. And then the other thing that came up, this was something that came up with the guy who works at Adobe, that because everyone knows that the benefit is available to them eventually, there's sort of, I think, like a camaraderie where, yeah, I'm going to help you, you know, with your workload, and eventually someone's going to help me with my workload. And he also thought of it as beneficial to other employees as like a training opportunity. So, you know, there's some growth and development that can come from having to learn other aspects of, you know, your coworkers' jobs, for example.
And eventually that employee is going to come back to the job. Yorai, after your 4 months off, what was work like when you returned?
It was pretty interesting time because that's also around we were announcing the acquisition, and the acquisition closed in May when I was supposed to return. So I technically got back to the startup, but now post-acquisition by a huge corporation, Cisco. So things looked slightly different, although the kind of culture and identity of Slido still prevailed. But one conversation I had with my boss at that time was, again, initiated by him, but he suggested I should not come back to the same role as I was in before, because I might kind of just go back into that same rabbit hole of burnout and feeling the same things and anxiety and stress. So again, didn't see myself at that point. Now I do, and I appreciate it so much. So we kind of together figured out a new role that was part of Cisco's organization, where I could join a new team and work on some other things. So it felt like I didn't leave the job fully, but I started something new within the organization with kind of fresh mind and clearer head.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Katie Binley and Yorai Paul. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
C3 AI Enterprise AI software supercharges your ERP installation, making it fully predictive. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.